So good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that you have made. Thank you for the new, for the fresh wind. Evidence of your presence. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for each one in this room. Father, for the unique thing that you want to do in us today. We say yes, we agree and concur with you. We say, let your will be done in this place and through this place, in us and through us. I'm just going to gather everyone and call us back. Declare in this place that there is a new sound, and the sound comes from each of us together. When people sing together as a choir, their heart beats start to beat together. And as our journey as a church family, he's causing our hearts to beat together, and he's causing us to open up and release a sound. So on Thursday evening, a few of us met to prepare to lead worship today, for today. And Ira played some amazing music that was harp, and it was just incredible. And in that moment, we weren't in a rush to do anything else. And we were just saying, Father, what are you doing? And we waited in his presence, and we felt that we were in his heart. I felt like I was walking in the arteries of his heart. I felt like I was in the chambers of his heart. And then the scene shifted, and I realized that those same arteries and veins were like the streets of a city, and that the city is where the people are that the Father wants to meet. And he has created each one with a God cry, with a God shape. He's created each one to know him. And we had the understanding that it wasn't up to us to go loudly knocking on their doors, but it was to agree with the Father, and that the Spirit goes and explores all places. That's in the Passion, it says, the Spirit explores all places. And so we felt that as we were in that worship time, that the Spirit was going out into the streets, into the homes, and drawing each one. The Father says he longs, he wants every single one to be saved. And that's our heart, and it can feel humanly overwhelming. But when we sit and partner with him right here together, and then we're released. from here, he sets up divine appointments, like Monica, you were saying. And so each one of us has God appointments. Jan spoke about God appointments in her home. We don't have to go looking for them. God brings the God appointments right to our doorstep. And all we have to do is open our eyes and see what he is doing. That's the answer. Open our eyes to see what he is doing. It's not us trying to rev something up. So today we say, we open our eyes to see what you are doing. Fresh wind is a song that we will sing, and we'll flow with it, the flow of our hearts, like intercession and a song. He's opening up the treasures in each one of us, and each of us has a different treasure, but each one has a treasure. And when you start to hold that treasure out, you actually, every thought of inferiority has no place, because we're suddenly holding something so special. We're holding a gift from heaven. And so, fresh wind, thank you that you blow over us this morning.
Father, thank you for your presence in this room and your presence in one another. Now would you lead us and inspire us as we minister to one another and minister to you. We're going to bring our offerings to the basket at the front. We're going to return the Lord's tithe to the container on the platform. In obedience to him, we're trusting for all that he wants for us. Then I want you to come and to receive the elements of communion. And what I want us to do today is for you to ask God, who have you assigned me to bless today? Just let him show you who in this room that you are going to be a blessing to. It may be that you take the elements to them. It may be that together you share the elements. It may be that you receive and then you pray for each other. Ask God what he wants you to do. But he wants us to be a blessing to one another today. And so I'm going to ask Jane just to play quietly while we come forward. But come forward to return the tithe. Come forward to bring your offerings. I'll break the bread here and come and receive the elements, and then see who does God want me to be a blessing to today.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heartbeat. This love is so, it's more than I can stand. Melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
We love to make room for God to touch lives. I want to say a big thank you to our worship leaders and all of you as the worship team. Beautiful to celebrate God's presence in song and response. And we're going to turn to the Word of God together for a few minutes. And then we're going to respond to God's word together before we wrap it up. And we did publicize on the email that we were going to talk about parables and relationships, but actually, since we sent the email out, the Holy Spirit's been nudging me about not looking at parables. We are looking at relationships, but we're not going to look at parables. We may save those for another time, or we may just let that slide by. We'll see. But what I think he's given me is going to flow on very beautifully from what Sherry and Nancy were speaking about last week. Because while they were speaking here, God was working in our hearts up in Virginia. We had a great time with our cluster gathering, and I'll tell you a bit more about that as we go through. But thank you for praying there for us as well. But wonderful what Nancy and Sherry were sharing last week about evangelism and having a heart for those who don't yet know the Lord, don't yet know the Father. And I wanted to sort of piggyback on that and start with the Great Commission this morning, because I think this is probably the most misunderstood section of the Gospels. Let me explain why. Well, let me read it first. Jesus came, this is Matthew 28, starting from verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Now, this is often misunderstood. Let me give you a misunderstood version of this. See if any of this sounds familiar to you. Jesus said, "All authority will be mine eventually. So leave where you are and go to places that are needy, preferably crossing geographic borders, and make converts. And if you baptize people, make sure you get the words right. And tell your converts to obey me or else, because I'll come back to examine how well you've done all this." Any of that sound familiar? I've heard facets of that kind of interpretation in different places over the years. But actually, that's not at all what Jesus is saying. Even though we've misunderstood it in that way, that's not at all what he's saying. When he said all authority, he meant all authority. I like to look up the original words, and I went and looked up the original word. It means entire or complete, every kind of authority. And he said, "has been given" in our English translations, but in the Greek, it's in the aorist imperfect tense. Excuse me, the aorist... Oh gosh, I've lost it in my notes. Anyway, it's in some fancy tense. What it really means is that it's complete and it's in the past. The aorist indicative, I found it. You don't need to make a note of that. But what you do need to make a note of in your heart is that when Jesus says all authority, it's already complete and it's already in the past. It's done. It's done. And it's been done by somebody other than Jesus. He didn't go grab it. It was given to him. The Father said, "That's it. Mission accomplished. Here's all authority, Jesus." So the implication of Jesus saying that in this passage is that he's instructing us what our authority is as his representatives, because he's going to go on to tell us what we are to do. He's going away back to the Father and leaving his followers to carry on the work. But he's telling us by what authority we do this. In the same way as if someone in, well, let me think. I have a friend who's in the Conway Police Department. And when he's wearing his uniform, he has the full authority of the Conway Police Department. He can arrest you if you're doing something wrong. He can take you away and put you in jail. He can charge you with offenses. He can, you know, whatever. Yeah? It's the same thing with Jesus. He's saying you can do all of this because you've got a uniform to wear. It's the uniform of being Jesus' brother or sister. That gives you your authority. So that's the authority, and we're his representatives. And then it goes on to say, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, in our English translations. But except it doesn't really say that. It actually says, as you travel, disciple everybody. Wherever you go, do what Jesus did by living with his friends. Live out how you want them to learn to live. That's what discipling means. It means to shape someone else's character to know and to follow and to become like Jesus by the example of your life. And when it says make disciples of all nations, it doesn't mean grab a passport. It's fine to grab a passport. I'm not saying that's wrong. I've got people in this room who've grabbed a passport and gone to many nations, and that's great. And we don't want to dishonor that in any way. But don't forget that all nations is not just geographic boundaries. The word is ethnos, which is where we get our word ethnic. It's demographic differences or distinctions. And in particular, it's ethnic restrictions. The people you don't talk to because they're different from you. Are there people you don't talk to because they're different from you? Sometimes, right? Yeah. If you're in the wrong part of town, or somebody from a different culture that you're not sure that you're comfortable with, we have distinctions and restrictions, don't we? That was very strong in the time of Jesus. There was us and there was them. There was the Jews and then there was the rest. The ethnos. The others. The Gentiles. The outsiders. But Jesus is saying, as you go, wherever you go, don't place any restriction on who you interact with. So that's our Great Commission. Wherever you go, place no interaction on who you interact, place no restriction on who you interact with. And shape their character and life to know and follow and become like Jesus by your example. So it would be wrong of us to place a false distinction between witness and discipleship. Because Jesus doesn't say, go and make converts and then disciple them. He says, disciple everybody. Set an example for anybody who's watching to follow. You may need to use words, but actually a lot of it comes by your attitude and your actions and your lifestyle. This is a whole life commission with whole life results. Because your lifestyle speaks louder than your words. The way we live shouts our values. Now, don't undermine your lifestyle influence by holding back on your speaking influence. Always be ready to give an answer, right? But don't simply do what I see folks in Erie County doing, standing with a megaphone at a stoplight, hoping to bludgeon somebody into agreeing with them. Because in that way, your lifestyle contradicts your message. It's a whole life commission. Every moment and every aspect of your life and my life matter. We don't have the good bits and the bits we have to endure. It's all one thing. Which is why, some of you didn't hear this at the beginning, but Holly asked God for just a short breather at work the other day, and he arranged for Holly to be the only person in Horry County who rejoices when the swing bridge closes. Because every detail of Holly's life matters to God, and every detail of Holly's life demonstrates what Jesus is like. And I could say the same about most of you, well, except about the swing bridge part, maybe. It's our whole lives that impact whole lives. So I mean every aspect of your life. There's no distinction between home and work. There's no distinction between friends and strangers. There's no distinction between the welcome and the unwelcome. But it's also your whole life. This is the thing that hit me last weekend, and I wanted to share it with you. For my whole life to make an impact on your whole life, my life has got to be whole. God wants your whole life to rub off on other people. So not fragmented or stunted or diminished by past hurts or lack or frustration or unforgiveness or any of those things that can get in the way of you and I demonstrating the life of Jesus just simply by existing. Wherever you go, place no restriction on who you interact with and shape their character and their life to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to become like Jesus. All of that depends on who you are. Your identity determines your impact. My identity determines my impact. And who you are is rooted in whose you are. Because each of you is a son or daughter of somebody very important. And that identity defines your impact. In a similar way to Caleb's identity defines his impact. He's Roger and Laura's son. And it's Roger and Laura who invest their lives in him. And it shows. And it's beautiful. And in the same way, Father God invests his identity in you. So that you reflect him. You become more and more like him. You become more and more like Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us," or in some translations, "has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." And so we are. We are children of God. We are not orphans. We're not left with no place to call home. We're not left detached from love. We are children of God. So ask yourself this morning, how fully do I experience God as my Father? How clearly do I live in that place of being wholly a daughter or a son of God? Because the Father's love is not another teaching on your bookshelf. You know, there's all kinds of teachings, aren't there? We've had quite a few in these series together. Gifts, fruit, evangelism, all the different things that we need to learn and know. But the Father's love for you as his child is the bookshelf on which all of those other teachings rest. And if we're honest, we would acknowledge that all of us have still got some degree of an orphan heart. Right? I don't think any of us could raise a hand and say, I never feel like I've got to look after myself. I never act as if I don't have a place to call home. I never see others as a threat. I never believe that it's up to me and I've got to look after everything. No. All of us need more encounters with the Father, don't we? That's why it was so beautiful this morning, just to spend that time flowing in worship, to allow the Holy Spirit to make the Father real to us in a deeper way. And that's our heritage in the Catch the Fire family. Because in 1994, Father God decided that the church in Toronto was a good place to actually demonstrate his fatherly love to his children in a way that they could be transformed by it. And in that place, when we are transformed, others see that and others are impacted and touched by that. That's why we continually host these Father Heart Schools. Next one's coming up on Memorial Weekend. If you've not done one, or if you've been a while since you've done one, I encourage you to do it again, because we've put it on the Memorial Weekend to make it easier for us to be able to participate and experience the Father's love. So we're going to start Thursday evening. You only have to miss Friday of work, and then the long weekend, and you'll be done by Monday afternoon. Get back to work on Tuesday for those of you who operate on normal schedules. I understand that some of us who are maybe DJs and things might have other things to do that weekend, but that's okay. Is my identity healthy? Because I can only have healthy relationships both with God and with other people if my identity is healthy. Is my whole life wholly free from those orphan tendencies? Is my whole life whole? For most of us, the answer is not yet. But God is prompting us in all kinds of different ways to get more freedom and more wholeness, so that my whole life can be fully commissioned, like Jesus was speaking about at the beginning there, fully commissioned to bring others into a whole life. Or if I put it a different way, an orphan can have a teacher, but what an orphan really needs is a parent. It's not just being given facts and information and lessons and instructions. It's actually being actively loved in all kinds of different ways. And in our community, so many people believe and think that they already know God, but too often it's through that lens of religion. You know, when I read that false commission, that we often think the Great Commission is, that's what it's saying, they would agree with that. And so we're surrounded. I remember very clearly on our drive down here 20, how many years ago was it? Jane and I were talking in the U-Haul because a very brave young man had taken our three boys in his car. And it was just Jane and me and the cat in the U-Haul with all of our belongings. And we were talking about what was God taking us to. One of the things that came to us was God is sending us to evangelize the saved. People who believe they've already got it, but they don't have that revelation that displaces the orphan heart. You look around, we're surrounded by spiritual orphans who are doing their best to follow Jesus, but they're doing it through rules and regulations and failures and frustration. Which is why it's so vital that you and I understand the challenge of showing a better way by our whole lives. People are watching you. People are watching me. And the more whole our lives can become, the more they'll see the Father. I can only really bring others to the Father when I've come to the Father myself, because there's only one perfect parent. We have all had parents. Some of us are parents, and we all know that there are no other perfect parents. But Father God is a perfect parent. So good. And we're commissioned to be sons and daughters who become spiritual parents to sons and daughters who become spiritual parents. God intends this to be a generational blessing. And so, who has God put around you that you're commissioned to impact and disciple in this way? There's people in your life that you are showing the Father to by your life. There's people in my life in the same way. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, though you have countless guides in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel, and I urge you then, be imitators of me. Incidentally, that's why we don't live stream our meetings. Because you can't sit at home and just watch something and be parented. It requires us to interact with one another like we've been doing this morning. But the goal of discipleship is fathering and mothering, not just telling people what to do and where to go and how to do it, or what not to do. It's how Jesus lived his life. He gathered a bunch of people around him and showed them how he lived in relationship with the Father. That's why he said, it's one of my favorite passages in John 5, when Jesus said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, shows him all things that he himself does, and he'll show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. God intends us to see what he's doing and do it with him so that we become spiritual parents to the people who are observing us. And being a spiritual parent is simply a question of following the Father and letting him show you greater works than he showed Jesus. You'll be amazed on this journey when you see what God can do, sometimes despite you, sometimes through you, sometimes with your collaboration. Any which way, Father does it. But having spiritual parents is also vital. And that involves receiving input and accepting the authority of others in our lives. This is where it starts to get tricky, doesn't it? I'm very happy to submit to Father God, but to submit to you? Maybe not. That's why the centurion stands out to me. Do you remember the centurion who came to Jesus? This is in Luke 7, I think. He told Jesus, Jesus didn't need to come. He just needed to speak the word. He said, because I too am a man set under authority. He saw something in Jesus that he recognized. I've done a lot of work recently with my coaching with folks who are former military. And it's very interesting the way that that impacts their life language profile, their expression of those seven gifts from Romans 12. Because it's all very orderly and structured, because they've learned to let it be orderly and structured. They've kind of had it beaten into them initially, but because it works in a structured way. And they recognize it in each other. I was actually talking to three gentlemen on a Zoom call on Friday, and one of them, I just said, it's interesting that, you know, two of you got very similar profiles, and the other guy's different, and the other guy piped up and said, yeah, that's because I'm from a different branch of the service. They knew exactly why their profiles looked like they looked, because of what they'd gone through. And the centurion saw something in Jesus. He says, I too am a man set under authority. Now, we started out with Jesus saying, all authority has been given to me. But it's only given to him because he's set under authority. I only do what I see the Father do. And Jesus heard what the centurion said, and he marveled, and he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. This guy gets God's plan and God's demonstration of the kingdom far better than all the people who are supposed to be carrying it. So we need both, don't we? So I guess a question for all of our hearts is, who has God set you under? Of course, in this church family, God set you under Jane and me. That doesn't mean we tell you what to do. It means that we try and cover what it is God's doing in you. And we too are set under in the Catch the Fire family, people that we listen to, receive from, hear, and submitted to one another as well. But who has God set you under? When my leaders give me feedback, I choose to receive it and then let God use it. I remember, and Jane's told this story before, but when the lady leaders in Toronto brought her in to tell her, Jane, you're needy. She received it, and she's totally different because she received it. But they had to have the courage to offer it and to have a plan of where it's going to take her to help her move out of a place that's not fully who she's made to be into a place where she becomes more fully who she's made to be. We say this most weeks, but you walk past it on your way in. This is a safe place to meet with God and to become who you're designed to be. We're expecting you to change. And then you give his love away to others. We're expecting us to change as well. So when I say, when my leaders give me feedback, I choose to receive it and let God use it in my life, there are three possible reactions to that. Some of us go, yeah, great. When I say some of us, I should say some of the time. We go, yeah, great. Because all of us say, yeah, great, some of the time. And when I say, yeah, great, then the orphan in me that's still there is being displaced by loving input. That I'm listening to people who care about me and love me and receiving. Even if they can't give it in a perfect form. You know, Jane and I have had some discussions just recently. I won't give you any details, but leaders over us gave us input and we had to kind of sift through it and see what does God want us to gain out of that, and what if it comes out of something that God's still working on in them? There's no perfect parents other than one perfect parent. But if we reject the input because it's a bit of a mixture, then we miss out. So if we say great, the orphan heart is being displaced by loving input. Sometimes we say, okay, we're still agreeing, but there's a kind of hesitancy. And that's when my orphan heart is being challenged by the input that I'm receiving with hesitation. My orphan heart needs to hear the truth, and I'm hesitant. That's okay. It's just part of the picture, but I'm trying to be real with the whole picture here. Sometimes we say, great. Sometimes we say, okay. And sometimes we say, but. And when I say, but, what I'm actually saying is that I agree logically with the command to submit, but I want to be right. I want to protect my orphan. And here's the catch. When I want to be right, I can't have relationship. Because if I must be right, well, then you must be wrong. And our relationship is broken in that moment. You've probably heard it said that real estate is three things. Location, location, location. Well, I'll borrow that phrase. Sorry, Mike, that's not really fair with the real estate agent in the room, is it? But discipleship is three things. Relationship, relationship, and relationship. Because it's relationship that creates community. It's community that's built as we navigate through our differences. And that takes communication, doesn't it? We've talked before, I mentioned the life languages, and this is what made me focus on this for today, because I've seen it in different places in the last couple of weeks, how important it is that communication builds community for the sake of relationship, because people are watching us and receiving through us what the Father is like. And that's how we convey a true picture of the Father. That's how we become spiritual fathers and mothers ourselves. There was a guy in Virginia last weekend who's very strong in the contemplator language, which is a good thing because he's a financial advisor. And we need him to be thinking hard about what's the right thing to do with money. But he had a question in the workshop that we were doing on Saturday last weekend, and he said this: how can I cultivate my influencer language so that I can connect better with other people? Because he saw the principle that if I'm just an island to myself, there is no community, and people get a wrong picture of the Father by how I am. Or another, I keep finding myself introducing couples to the Father as I'm trying to coach them in communication. I've got three couples I'm working on right now. You don't know any of them, so it's okay to say this. Three couples I'm working on right now. And it's not any of you. But when it comes to it, the bottom line is they need a deeper revelation that God is my Father. Yeah, I can help them with which language comes first and how to bridge to other languages. And that's important too. And you know, if you haven't looked at that picture for yourself recently, let me know, because let's deal with that. We want to build that as well. But introducing couples to their need for the Father is really one of the things that God's highlighting for me right now. There's a guy in Raleigh that he and I have been in a kind of coach each other relationship for probably 4 or 5 months now, and he came up with this idea that I should do communication IQ for couples. He said, for the low price of $550, you can have 2 profiles and 3 sessions with Mark, and you'll find out if this is going to work for your marriage, and boy, will it work. Okay, we'll do that. And he's already sent one couple to me, and that's one of the couples I'm working with. But I went to, what is it, the Optimist Club of North Myrtle Beach. I didn't know North Myrtle Beach had an Optimist Club, but as a first language influencer, I like Optimist Clubs. So they asked me to go speak last weekend. Not last weekend, on Wednesday, for lunch. And so I was explaining about this communication IQ for couples, which is really a kind of stealth way of introducing people to the Father. And I said, and it's only $550, which to me sounds like a lot of money. And one guy at the table just to the side of me muttered under his breath, well, I'm an attorney. The retainer for divorce is 10 grand. This is cheap. My point in saying that is people are watching you. And people are being influenced by your life. I'm seeing it more clearly for myself than I've ever seen it, that just by being me, people are seeing something about the Father in how I live and what I do and all of that. And it's the same is true for every one of us. And your commission and my commission is to interact with everyone we meet in a way that helps them meet the Father because they get to know Jesus. With no restrictions on who. We want everybody to see our relationship with the Father and to be asking themselves, how do I step into that more fully? And so what I think we should do to kind of land the plane here is to allow God to commission us further. Is that okay? If you're able, why don't you stand with me? Because sometimes when you're accepting a commission, it's a good idea to stand up. And as we stand, let's just hold our hands open and say, Father, I understand in a deeper way this week than I've done before that the way my life flows really matters. And I understand in a deeper way this week than I've done before that there are people around me that you've placed me among to live a life that shows what you're like. And you're commissioning all of us to live in a way that points to you. To live in a way that makes it easy for people to follow me as I follow Christ. To imitate me as I become a spiritual father or mother. And so I'm accepting that whole life commission that you bring together every facet of my life. Whether I'm aware of people watching me or not, that every facet of my life, even just the way I live at home in quietness with you, would affect the way I deal with and interact with other people. So I'm accepting that commission for my whole life to show you to others. And Father, as we stand here accepting that whole life commission, we know that our own lives need to be made more whole. And so I want to just give you permission, Father, to work in my life some more. Where I need a deeper revelation of you as my Father, and me as your child, would you just begin to pour that revelation into my heart right now? Where I need to grow in that easy obedience to only do what I see the Father do. Would you grace me to know what you're doing and to join in with what you're doing more fully, more freely, more easily? And if there's anything in my heart, Father, that is still hurting or lacking or obstructing what you want to do in me, I give you permission to shift it. I give you permission to heal it. I give you permission to fill it with your love. I give you permission to take it away if that's what it takes. If there's any emptiness in me, I welcome you to fill it right now. That everywhere I go, people would see you. That you would open my eyes to the influence you've given me and the commission that you've placed me in my work, in my neighborhood, in my family, in my relationships, in my day-to-day walking around ordinary life, to carry you and impart you to others. Thank you that you're always with us. You're always working through us. We love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
And in this season and in this time, the Father is doing an unlocking and lifting the lid with a treasure that's inside you. You might think, oh, where I'm placed is insignificant or less than. And he's saying, no, I'm writing this story.
Yeah.
So I speak a blessing over each one because he's saying something unique to each of us. He's asking one thing. What is the one thing that he's saying to you? What is the one thing that he's putting before you as a step of obedience and a step of trust? Because in that he will meet you and he will open up more than you can ask or imagine. So I speak courage. I speak the privilege and joy of being fine-tuned to your voice. Yes. And for those around us, that they would supercharge us. They would agree with what he's saying as we say, I'm stepping out in this in faith.
Yeah.
And so, Father, I pray that there'd be some more stories, some faith stories that show the fruit as we walk forward.
Yes. Thank you, Father. So we will be dismissed there, but we'll have folks at the front. Jane and I would be glad to agree with you in prayer, or you're welcome to pray for one another. And let's set the seal on what God has challenged us with today so that we live it out more fruitfully than ever before. In Jesus' name. Amen.